Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are our friend. And we come before you with our prayers. We come before you in this time of teaching. I pray for the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit as I share upon me and upon those that are listening, that we would be strengthened through the teaching of your holy word to give you all praise and glory. In the name of Christ, amen. Prayer. I've read that prayer is a simple word, a word that can be easily defined. So I want to have you take a few seconds and pretend that you are alone, and I want you in your mind to define what prayer means or what prayer is in your words. Take a few moments and define prayer. That's a few moments. Maybe you came up with prayer is communication with God. Prayer is opening myself up to the Lord. Prayer is a spiritual conversation with God. Prayer involves both talking and listening. Listening for God's voice to speak to us. Prayer is an act of worship in which we honor God. Prayer is an act of worship in which we acknowledge our dependence upon God. Yes, prayer can be a simple word, but as you try to define it, as you live it, as you pray a life of prayer, we realize that there is great depth to the reality of prayer. Prayer is not a formula. Prayer is not an automatic process. When there are times when we are invited to pray, we probably all start at different times. Some of us have to clear our minds. Some of us have to be in the right seat, having read the right scripture or had a song to prepare us to prayer. It's not automatic. Prayer is fluid. Prayer can shape us and make us whole. As we pray, we can make use of memorized prayers. Memorized prayers are worthwhile, and they provide unity in connecting people together in prayer. In my years at camp, we had memorized prayer charts along the wall of windows so that every meal, the retreaters or the campers, in their prayer before the meal, they could use one of these standard memorized ones. And oftentimes, those were in songs, and probably the one that was sung the most is the Johnny Appleseed Grace. And so I want you to join me in singing this song. You ready?
Oh, the Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and rain and appleseed. The Lord is good to me.
Amen. Oh. I had a text after 8 o'clock. They appreciated the first solo they ever heard me sing. I'm glad you sung louder, okay? And I just noticed another mistake. It actually is supposed to be apple seed, not C. Sorry about that. Just noticed that after the fifth time I've looked through this. Memorized prayer. It united us together, and it offers prayer to the Lord. In this time, it was for a meal. I was in a restaurant this past week, and I sat down at one table, and behind me, I had to turn around because behind me was a family, two parents, three kids, and they said a memorized prayer. They said it out loud, and they said it together, and I could tell that they had prayed that many times, and they had prayed that many times in public, which is not necessarily normal in today's world, but it was a blessing to hear that memorized prayer by that family when we are talking about prayer this morning. And Jesus himself provides us a prayer that Christians have memorized and prayed for centuries, the Lord's Prayer. Memorized prayers, they have purpose and they have value. And as we move from memorized prayers to prayers that just happen, there is variety and there is freshness in being led by the Spirit as we pray. I was recently handed something by somebody about prayer, and they were describing their prayer life as kind of routine. And as they thought about the prayers, all they were doing was asking. They were asking God for this and asking God for that. And they began to find themselves trying to change their prayer life, trying to deepen it. So they began to pray about using four specific words. And they continued to ask for help while also deepening their prayer times. Those four words, to begin with praise, they give glory to God for who God is and what God has done and what they know God will be doing. They offer repentance. They repent of the sins that they have committed, and they ask for God's strength, and they ask for God's forgiveness. They still ask, but in their prayer, they're asking for those people's names that God has placed on their heart. That's why we list prayer concerns and share them in the bulletin and in church, so that we can be praying for others. And then they close their prayer with the word yield. They have come to understand that their prayers are not just trying to answer their requests when and how they want them answered, but they are yielding to God's will in their answers. And I trust you astute people out there have figured out that praise, repent, ask, and yield begins with the four letters of pray, so that you can help remember those. Prayer. Why do Christians pray? We pray because that's what we're taught from Scripture. We pray as obedience to how God wants to interact with us. From 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. From Philippians 4, 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, present your requests to God. And thirdly, from Ephesians 6, 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. To be ready to pray at any time is being obedient to what the Scriptures teach us. Now I want us to consider the teaching that Jesus offers in what we've read from Luke chapter 11. He begins, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. Doesn't say when, doesn't say where. The focus is on Jesus praying. We finished up last Sunday that three-part sermon series on the prophet Habakkuk, and chapter 3 was Habakkuk's prayer. And here we move from that example and that model of prayer that Habakkuk was offering to how Jesus is modeling prayer for us. He was praying. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, and you think about that, Jesus was praying, his disciples were there observing him. They waited till he was finished out of respect, and then one of the 12 most likely asked a question that other disciples were ready to ask. They were listening. Maybe Jesus was praying out loud and they were listening. Maybe Jesus was kneeling. Maybe he was sitting. Maybe he was standing with his arms to the skies. Maybe his eyes were open, maybe they were bowed in prayer, but his disciples were watching. And so as we pray without embarrassment in public, we're modeling prayer for others around us. And I pray I would not have just noticed that prayer by that family in that restaurant just because I'm a pastor, but I would have noticed as a Christian, because it was a blessing to hear them in a busy restaurant. And they asked him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Notice what he asks. "Lord, teach us to pray." Not teach us how to pray, but teach us to pray. Kind of interesting. It's not just about how, but it's the whole realm of prayer. And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say," and he gives us Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer. You can go back and compare that to Matthew's version in Matthew chapter 6, and they're not identical in the original text. And the Lord's Prayer that we have offered in worship today is not identical to what's in Matthew 6 or here in Luke 11, because the prayer is a pattern. It's not an exact formula. It's not meant to be precise, but it's meant to be fluid. And there are times when we pray the Lord's Prayer out loud together, and I hope that there are times when you pray that silently by yourself, and you take some time before and after some of the words to think about them and let them impact you in prayer. But Jesus is teaching, he's modeling what to pray. If you look at the prayer, it's not when and where, but it's adoration, it's thanksgiving, it's requests, it's forgiveness. And it's a prayer of keeping us faithful, that we recognize we need God's power, that we need God's wisdom to say no to temptation. And so the disciples, they have been observing, and now they're hearing, and their prayer life is going to be affected in positive ways. But notice the prayer. It's brief. It's simple. To know that the rabbis had sayings in those days, the Jewish rabbis had sayings like, "Whoever is long in prayer is heard. Whoever is long in prayer is heard." Or, "Whenever the righteous make their prayer long, their prayer is heard." And I know it's tough for a pastor to talk about brief prayers, especially after I've had a long pastoral prayer. But if we only had a short prayer list, it would be cut in half. I try not to have lengthy prayers because Jesus models for us simple and brief. And if you read Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is speaking against the Pharisees who liked long, wordy prayers so everybody else could be impressed with their prayer life. But here Jesus is modeling simplicity and brevity. We can gain that truth from Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. "Guard your steps when you go to the house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth, so let your words be few." Jesus has learned from the Old Testament about simplicity and brevity. And then we continue with the teaching of Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. Then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Realistically, it probably was more like this. Don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children, they're in bed with me. They're sleeping. I don't want to wake them up. I can't get you anything. In the custom of the day, back then, how far we have come now, in the custom of the day, a typical Jewish family would have had a one-room home. And in one side or one corner of that one room, it would have had a raised platform, maybe 3 or 4 feet off of the floor, and that's where they slept. So they weren't sharing the same bed, they were sharing the same platform. And the reason they were on that platform was because the cow and the sheep and the goats were on the floor of the home, so they were sleeping above the animals. And so the man did not want to get out of bed and disturb the animals who would wake up all of the family, but he was locked in for the night. He couldn't help his neighbor. But if you think about the lesson, suppose one of you has a friend who goes to him at midnight, the one that is coming asking for the loaves of bread, he has already been disturbed because somebody has come and woken up his household. And so he feels compelled to go and ask so he can be a good friend to the one that's come. I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Jesus is teaching his disciples to pray with boldness and to pray with persistence. That neighbor who came probably had to ask a few times. And he was bold and he was persistent. And his friend then got up and gave him the bread because of that boldness and persistence. Why do we have to repeat our prayers? Why do we have to be persistent in our prayers? God often waits for our passionate persistence in prayer. Now, God is not reluctant to answer our prayers. He doesn't need to be persuaded. So what is prayer about? And again, we talked about this last week with Habakkuk, and we look at this today. The aspect of persistent prayer and bold prayer is more about shaping us. Are we willing to spend the time in prayer? Are we sacrificing those other things that we want to do? So we spend an hour, 2 hours, a day in prayer. Not those quick 5-minute devotionals. Those are good, just as memorized prayers are good. But as we mature in faith, there is greater boldness. There is more persistence needed. Because God wants us to develop a heart and a passion for Him. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. In all honesty, I have asked for many things, and I have not been given. I have sought and I have not found. But every time I have knocked, Jesus has opened the door and come into my life. Asking, seeking, knocking. Those are words, those are verbs of action and continuance. We have to continue to ask. When I didn't get my prayer answered, I didn't give up praying, but I did change the focus of my prayer. So in the asking, I learned for more appropriate ways in what I should be asking for. Not about my wants, but about what God wanted for me to have. And then Jesus closes. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? You gotta love the contrast of what is happening here in the exaggeration that Jesus offers. To ask for a fish and yet is given a snake. Now, some of you know, I know you would like a snake more than a fish, okay? But you can see the difference in what the son might be asking for. Or an egg will give him a scorpion. I never prayed for an egg. I never prayed for a scorpion, but I was given scorpions. I never got to pick my college roommate and what they brought into the room. And those scorpions really were cool as long as they stayed in that aquarium. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? We know how to bless our children with good gifts. God, even more so, knows the good gifts that he can give to us. Not always with what we want, but God provides what is best for us in his spiritual realm of prayer. So keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking, praying with prayer that persists, with earnestness, with honesty, with intensity, because we do pray to a Heavenly Father whose understanding we cannot fathom. But as we live each day, we get plenty of glimpses. We get visions of his splendor, of his might, of his creativity. And knowing that God loves to give his Holy Spirit, may we pray in the truth of the Spirit. Amen. Each and every day, I hope that we can also be praying for what is God asking of us. Yes, we have the tradition as a church to receive our weekly offerings, but do you pray about what God wants you to put in the plate or send to us by online or however that may be? And do you pray, God, how can you use me today? So be thinking about that as our ushers come forward to receive this Sunday's offering. Gracious Lord God, we give these gifts to you. We give them to honor you. We give them to extend your kingdom here on earth. Lord, bless them and use them for your glory. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Our closing hymn today is number 493, It Is Well With My Soul. And following a spoken benediction, we will sing verse 1 of The Bond of Love.
I pray that it be so, that it is well with your soul. Go gladly into the world, be filled with the love of God, move to the ways of the Spirit, be merciful to all. Amen.